In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Paul Claudel was a French poet and diplomat. He was a colorful figure. He once described the Christian as a person who knows what he is doing and where he is going in a world that no longer knows the difference between good and evil. He wrote that a person who no longer believes in God no longer believes in anything. In this, he was simply reporting what he saw all around him. He was speaking from a lifetime of witness of two world wars and the rise of atheistic political structures that murdered tens of millions of innocent people using the vocabulary of science. He knew exactly what forgetting God can lead to. Jesus knows that the Pharisees and Herodians are trying to trap him in the gospel today. Whose image is this, and whose inscription, he asks about the coin. When his enemies respond, Caesar's, he tells them simply, we'll give it back. In other words, what bears the image of Caesar belongs to him. You and I put our names and faces on all kinds of things and make sure they belong to, people know they belong to us. I kept losing pencils in first grade until my mother made me put my name around the top of the pencil. The key word, though, here is Jesus, in Jesus' answer is the word image. It's the biblical word. Now, our modern understanding of image is weaker than the original Greek meaning that the gospel was written in. And the word was used ikon, or icon. We tend to think of an image as something more symbolic, like a sketch of some sort. But in the New Testament, in the biblical language, an image of something shares in the very nature of the thing itself, much stronger. Think of the consequences of this for us, using biblical understanding of image. God says in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You and I are made in the very image of God. When the Jewish scholars went to translate the Old Testament into the common language, Greek, 200 years before Christ, they used the same word, icon, when describing this creation, when translating this part of Genesis. Friends, to be made in the image of God is more than a pious slogan. It's a statement of fact. It goes to the very heart of who we are. Every one of us shares, in a limited but real way, in the nature of God himself. And for us, how can we grow closer to that image? Jesus isn't being clever in the gospel. He's not offering political commentary. He is making a claim on every human being. He's saying, give back to Caesar those things that bear Caesar's image, but more importantly, give back to God what bears God's image. In other words, you and me, all of us. And that raises some unsettling questions. What do you and I and all of us really render to God in our personal day-to-day lives? Here I'm speaking of just us, ones who claim to be his disciples. What does it actually mean in the way we speak and act every day? Or do we try to live in two separate worlds, where we have divided the world of Caesar, the ruler of the world, as opposed to the world of God, pretending that God doesn't exist in this other world that we've created for ourselves, and really sort of acting like Adam and Eve after they had sinned and they try to hide in the tree God surely can't find us there. Now, Jesus' message today is uncompromising. We should give to Caesar nothing of ourselves. Now, obviously, we live in the world. That means we have obligations of charity and justice to the people with whom we share this world. As Chesterton said, if we build a wall between ourselves and the world, it makes little difference whether we describe ourselves as locked in or locked out. But we were made for so much more. Our real lasting home is not here. The point of today's gospel is not how we should calculate a fair division of goods between the world of Caesar and the world of God. In reality, it all belongs to God, and nothing, at least nothing permanent and important, belongs to Caesar. Remember, even Caesar, as a human being, belongs to God. We belong to God, and only to God. Think about who is the most free person at anything. It's a person who masters his or her art, the thing they're doing. Maybe, for instance, you like to play golf or tennis, or I understand pickleball is pretty popular, and maybe for our young people, basketball. Well, a golf or tennis player or pickleball or basketball, you're most free when you master the skills needed to play according to the rules of the game. And once that is done, you can truly enjoy playing the game. You're finally free to play the game. The same holds true for our lives. We are only free to the extent we unburden ourselves of our own rebellious and willful inclinations, constantly fighting the way things really are made, trying to make up new rules of the game of life, and instead practice living according to God's plan, which is always perfect, who made us in his image. To know him is to know more of ourselves. When we choose to live according to God's intention for us, it's then and only then that we're truly free and that we actually know what it means to be truly human. This is the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. It's the freedom of St. Miguel Pro, Mother Teresa, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Edith Stein, and all of the other holy women and men who have gone before us, doing the right thing, the heroic thing, in the face of incredible adversity and suffering. It's the kind of freedom that can transform the world. Really transform the world. And that should electrify us and enliven us to truly live without fear. Real freedom isn't something the Caesars of the world can give or take away. They can try to interfere with it, but they cannot be the master of it. They can't be the master of you. We have to get busy being the witness of the truth in every word that comes out of our mouth, in every deed we do. In the end, we are missionaries of Jesus Christ, ambassadors for Christ, in the words of St. Paul. Or we're nothing at all. And we cannot share with others what we do not live faithfully and joyfully ourselves. So go ahead, give back to Caesar right now those things that bear his image, but render to God yourself, generously, passionately, faithfully, holding nothing back. To the extent that we allow God to transform us more and more into his own image, we become more truly ourselves. And then we become truly free to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.